As you can see, there's no shortage of energy and enthusiasm in Mark Holtzman and his office. Larry Nelson is recording this, and we'll be having it available on the web for audio, and others that missed the program, you can refer them to our site that'll link to W3W3.com. Speaking of good news, J.D. Edwards had reported last week. J.D. Edwards' results better than expected, so the timing on some of these local trends is coming out there in the headlines that we see. Without further ado, I'd like to introduce Rob Reutemann, business editor of the Rocky Mountain News. He'll be our moderator, and he'll take it from here. Also, Rob, when you finish, you can wrap it up, because I'll be upstairs having fun. Go ahead.
That sounds fine, Terry. As Terry advertised, we'll be up here tonight attempting to take the pulse of Denver's high-tech and technology sector. We've got a terrific panel up here, and we've got a lot to talk about. The way we'll do this is each person to my left will talk for 2 or 3 minutes about their individual endeavors. I've got about 4 or 5 questions I would like to ask the group, and I'll start with one person, and the other two will add to it, and then hopefully by the time we're done with my questions, we'll have time to take some from the audience. As I said, we've got a great panel up here tonight and a lot to talk about. On my far left is Victor Chiat, the Senior Director of Corporate Communications for J.D. Edwards. In the middle here is Rick Patch, a principal with Sequel Ventures. And to my direct left is Joe Snell, the Executive Director of the Metro Denver Network. And Victor, why don't you start things out?
Sure. Talk about J.D. Edwards for just a minute, not two. J.D. Edwards provides extended enterprise software to companies that make somewhere between $250 million and $3 or $4 billion in revenue annually. Our software automates things like customer relationship management, supply chain, ERP, and enables companies to engage with their suppliers and their partners in collaborative commerce. We were founded about 25 years ago to the day, just about, in a kitchen in South Denver by three men. Today we employ just about 5,000 people in 60 offices around the world. 2,500 of those people are here in Denver at our corporate headquarters in Southeast, in the Tech Center area. Really glad to be here. Last year we posted revenues of about $950 million.
Rick?
You bet. Hi, my name is Rick Patch, Sequel Venture Partners. We're a traditional venture capital firm with about $425 million under management. We've been around about 6 years, diverse group of partners, 6 partners are involved with our organization. We're investing in information technology, healthcare, communications, very active in the community. We're regionally focused. We stay home. In Colorado, we believe in this region. We're very passionate about this region. We're passionate about the diversity that exists here, the types of jobs and skills, the infrastructure that exists here, the university system, all the elements that make this a great place to invest. And so we're continually devoted to that. We still have, in our third fund, we've done about 6 transactions. Our average deal is about $6 to $7 million over the life of a business. And we probably have another 20 or so that we're looking for. Not all tonight, so please. Don't do that to me. I just cannot do that. But I think that pretty well sums it up.
Thank you. Joe Snell.
Thanks. Thanks for having me here today. I represent a group called the Metro Denver Network, and at our heart, we're really an economic development entity representing the 7-county metro area. What makes us unique is that we're governed by roughly 120 CEOs that join the Metro Denver Network for the sole purpose of making sure that we operate in a healthy economy. We're engaged in 4 or 5 critical things, one being attraction, attracting new companies into the market. And over the last 20 years, we've had a major hand in every major relocation from Level 3 to Sun Microsystems, and even the ones that got away like Boeing, we played a major part. So we're really a marketing group, and we help attract new investment here. We also are involved in retaining our current industry base, and I can tell you that we think that's absolutely the most critical thing we can do. And without getting into questions, today, more important than ever, making sure we retain the corporations that we have. Research, we provide an awful lot of research, demographic income, special research on different industries. If it's out there, we track it. and research. And then finally, developing strategic economic development plans for the Front Range. A few years ago, in 1998, we sat in a room and decided to develop a strategic plan. And we sat back and we said, you know what, we're in a great economy. But knowing Colorado the way we do, we realize that the economy in Colorado is very cyclic. One year it's up, next year it's down. Boom and bust cycles. We sat back and we said, how can we make sure that we don't go through another major down cycle, or if we do go through a down cycle, that we can mitigate that? The answer was to take a long-term view of what the economy would look like. So we did a study called Tech Vision, which identified six major industries that will shape our economy through the year 2020. Real quickly, those are biomedical products and devices, computer storage, computer software, telecommunications equipment, telecommunications services, and space sciences. The results out of that last couple of years, we launched cooperatively with Mark Holtzman under his leadership and the governor of the Convergence Corridor campaign, realizing that Denver needed to be recognized as a major tech hub. So in a nutshell, that's what we are, is just a big economic development entity.
We've heard a lot of optimistic talk thus far this morning, this evening, and we may hear more, but it might be useful for me to play a little bit of a devil's advocate role for starters. In my work, I talk to a number of economists. What I am starting to hear from a number of them is that if the recession started nationally last March, it didn't really hit Colorado until maybe as late as November. And as such, it may well take us 6 months longer than the rest of the country to come out of the recession. And I was wondering if our panelists agreed with that characterization, and regarding the recession in Colorado, how deep is it, how wide is it, and how long will it last? And maybe we could start off with Victor.
I would echo your reluctance to say the recession is over. What we have seen, first I think I would push that back on the economists. I think that recessions are national or global phenomena that have local manifestations that come out differently in different geographies. They don't necessarily only happen in a state. So I'd be interested to understand the metrics that make a recession different from state to state. I think the diversity of industries that we have here give us that buffer and allow us not to feel that recession quite as sharply initially. But I would say that we are far from the bottom, that the turnaround is not 4 or 6 months away from us, and that the biggest danger probably is thinking that we are past the worst. And I know it's not the most cheerful thing to be bringing to this crowd, but I really think that from our perspective as a company, looking at both the local and global stage, that's what we see, things pretty much flat with the year prior that we've just gone through.
I would echo your comments about being an economist. I took one semester of economics 101. I think I got a C on it, and it was not a good experience for me. But one thing I would say, being at the entrepreneurial level, clearly it's been a very rough road. But for us, it's not about the general recession, general economy, general things that are tracked at a high level. Our markets are really all about the liquidity that comes for a potential company that makes progress in its market. If the liquidity markets dry up for our companies, then we struggle mightily. We saw an IPO market that went from just wow to where did it go? So that was, you know, one of the primary liquidity markets that we had to work with. The second liquidity market is the mergers and acquisition market, which is when businesses like J.D. Edwards realizes that they need to fill a product gap, or they have a service gap, or they have a people gap, whatever, they're out looking for that sort of thing, especially in competitive times where everybody's looking for that kind of thing and they're aggressive. Well, that makes a liquidity market for my businesses, for which I love to sell to him and others like him in the enterprise space and so forth. Well, clearly that market dried up as well. Or actually the way that one went is they all recognized that, you know, it was sale time, and we just wait. We're in no hurry. Competition isn't getting there any quicker than we are. Our revenues were focused on our core business. We're focused on costs. You know, I'm not in any hurry to buy. So what happens is you end up selling things at pennies in the dollar. Both of these liquidity markets, the IPO and M&A markets, have grave impacts on me. So the general economy is something we, we, We look forward to help with that. We feel as though we're starting back into that. Most of the businesses we have are solid businesses with real customers that market risk has been taken from, and most of the pain and gnashing of teeth and difficult businesses that weren't getting traction are pretty much out of the portfolio, and it's now moving forward. One thing I would leave you with in this space relative to recovery is, in my line of business, you know, being on lots of board of directors, being involved with lots of management teams, being in my partners' meetings where we discuss every one of our portfolio companies weekly as to where they're at, single one thing we forget to do quickest, and that is fire people. And that sounds terrible, but it means it's very hard to do layoffs. It's very hard to look at a senior management team and make a change. You think you're doing it fast enough, but you're always too slow to do it. But the reverse of that is actually good news, and that is people, when they need people and they have resources, they hire quicker. They hire much quicker than they're willing to let go. And so that's the good news. If you believe that we're sort of past the difficult times and you feel as though there's some growth coming, you'll find businesses will hire a little faster than they're willing to lay off. At least that's my belief and hope. Okay? So that's my thoughts.
Thanks, Rick. I get calls all the time. Joe, are we in a recession? Are we in a depression? What are we in? Well, I think it's important, and Rick, you're not an economist, but I know you can answer this. It's important to be able to define what a recession is and what a depression is. And I'm sure if we, you know, all of you took your economics lessons, you followed your Keynesian approaches to economics, and you remember that term, Keynesian. And, you know, we'll all get 100 different answers of what a recession is and what a depression is. I'll give you mine. A recession is when your neighbor loses his or her job. Depression's when you lose yours. We're in a mild recession, and I think we can talk about recessions, but what does that really mean? I think for you out there, you need to ask the question, how do we benchmark that? What does that mean with a recession? How bad is it? Well, I say mild. I don't want to underplay mild because, if you're unemployed, even though we're hovering around about 5% unemployment, if you're unemployed, it's 100%. So you don't want to minimize that. But I will say that I see this recession tracking very close to the recession of 1991. Not the recession, the deep recession that we saw here in the mid-1980s. Secretary Holtzman talked about it a little bit. In the mid-1980s, we had double-digit unemployment, 40% vacancies. I remember getting out of college at the time and walking down and beating on every door I could find. I couldn't get a job and I had to leave. And people were coming in and throwing their keys on their banker's desk saying, take the house, we can't make the payments. Why was the recession so deep in the 1980s? My opinion is we had dependency on too few industry sectors. This economy was built on the oil and gas industries. Maybe throw in mining. And when those tanked, so did the economy. As we sit here today, we're much more broad-based. Technology's been driving this. So, I think we're in a recession. I think we were a little slower in feeling the effects than the rest of the nation. People have asked me, Joe, did 9/11, the tragedies, cause the recession? My answer is no. We were heading that way, but it sure accelerated things. And I don't think that maybe in some of the sectors that we've bottomed out, I think that our recovery might be just a tad slower than the rest of the nation. I travel a lot, and, you know, there's that feel. I get the feel that the rest of the country's picking up speed. I'm not trying to sound negative, but I think we might be a little slower in coming out of this. But I think long-term, we're gonna be okay. I won't go any further. So,
in your estimation, what do you think it'll take to pull the technology sector out of its current doldrums and get back on a winning track? Is there a new killer app out there? Do we need to solve the last mile problem before the tech sector comes back? What would you like to see happen, Victor?
I think what I'd like to see happen more than anything is to, setting of realistic expectations. I think one of the key challenges that we face in coming out of what we experienced the past 2.5-3 years is an expectation for growth and returns that was real out of whack with reality. And what I see now in the marketplace are companies and employees getting back in touch with that reality, understanding what it is to grind out an adequate growth rate as opposed to looking for those triple-digit returns within 12 months. So the expectations have to be accurate and in touch with the way business runs day in, day out. For our purposes, our business is business-to-business software. And so we really focus on what it's going to take for enterprises to collaborate with each other. That's what we would like to see happen as we move forward, is for enterprises to understand the value of not only integrating their IT internally inside their four walls, but to create the IT landscape that lets them collaborate externally. By automating those collaborative processes, we're going to get much more value out of an IT install. Right now, on the hardware side, I think we're at overcapacity, and you can get that way very quickly in hardware. Software, at this point, I don't believe is in the same situation. So where we have an overcapacity of servers, for example, out there in the market space, and you're going to have a lot harder time selling that hardware back into the consumer base, into the business base there. Software doesn't get to overcapacity. You don't get enough CRM software and then stop. You continually upgrade that. So I think that we're going to see a detachment from the software curves and the hardware curves. They won't necessarily follow each other the way they have in past cycles. What I'd like to see happen is for people to engage in the trust necessary to collaborate with each other as companies, and to understand that the expectations at the small end, at the startup level, have to be in line with the way general businesses operate.
Victor's company is a critical company to this region, given its international pull and its focus on the enterprise and helping enterprises be more successful. To the extent we can have businesses like Victor's be successful, we are rooting for you big time, because that's what generates economic activity here and thought leadership for this region. So it's critical in my mind. As far as a killer app, it has to be a killer app, and it happens that all of them are in my portfolio, which is really great. Exactly. Just so you know, here's my card here, Victor. You know, as you look at the what we've been through, and, you know, it's been written till, gosh, the cows come home, I guess, but something along those lines about what happened over the last couple years in the internet bubble and the frenzy that occurred in the business world. There's lots of things you can say, but as it relates to this question of technology and business growth, one of the things that strikes me is that we weren't building and running balanced businesses. And by balanced businesses, as you look at your business relative to strengths, your weaknesses, your opportunities and threats, which is a normal kind of SWOT analysis that everybody does for businesses and even in personal life, you'll find that businesses got so caught up in the frenzy of the potential for new customers and the potential for new revenues, they were watching over their shoulder at their competition. And because competition was moving to make things happen, they felt like they had to make things happen. And it turned everybody into a frenzy of worrying about their own core business and whether it was going to be there in the long term. And so I call it this frenzy of everybody focused and unbalanced on competition as it related to their market. And they lost track of who are their real customers and where are our costs to our business, because those are the three things. You've got your revenue, you've got your costs, and you've got some competition, and all those things play together as a balanced business. We focused heavily on what other people were doing, and we thought we saw customers, and we weren't right. The growth wasn't going to be as fast. Yeah, the internet matters. And if you look at this last Christmas season, it was amazing to me. It was hard to even find anyone writing about the e-commerce that occurred in the internet, but it was an amazing amount of growth relative to any market you might have seen in the past. The internet matters. It'll continue to matter. It just wasn't at the level of, you know, eyeballs that everybody was hoping that they all were going to capture at the same time. So I think the technology does matter, I think, and in fact, I think the internet is the growth of technology. Because my belief and my core belief has been for a long time that innovation is spawned quickest through collaboration, through communication of ideas, through diversity coming together to find ways to solve problems in new ways. That's why the printing press was viewed as such an important thing, and that's been written about forever when the internet hit. But it was about people communicating ideas, people being able to take that ideas, adding their knowledge, adding it to the next person's knowledge. Before you know it, innovation occurs. We are in the innovation age, in my opinion. Because of the internet, more people can communicate at more time in more interesting ways than we've ever had as a human race. Because of that, technology will go forward, innovation will go forward, and I believe it's a very bright time.
You said a mouthful.
Yeah.
And I won't add a ton. I don't think there's a magic potion of what it's going to take to get the technology industries back on track. I mean, I... I remember soon, it wasn't Rob, but maybe one of your reporters called me as things starting to really drop off and soften in March, and somebody said, aha, your study you did that identified technology industries as the ones in the future of Denver, you were wrong. Do you want to admit it, Joe? Admit it. No. Technology is a part of our lives. Even I use telecom, for example. Telecom is taking some tough hits. But I think you'll agree with me. If anybody thinks telecom is not going to be an active player in our economy worldwide over the next 20 years, they're living under a rock. So I don't think there's a magic bullet. I think we have to make sure that locally, that Colorado and Denver, that we're competitive in getting our share of creation of wealth and making sure that we're riding the right wave when the economy does come out. And that's a whole issue, protecting the things that are important. I think the number one thing, if I had to pick something that's going to take us to new heights with our technology industries, it's you. Labor, workers. Workers drive business decisions. And Colorado has been built on workers, and technology industries have been built on workers. So we want to make sure you're happy. We have transportation systems that work for you, that your kids go to school, that you want to continue to live in Colorado. So I'll stop there, but keep going on.
All right. Good answers.